Help me stand up and welcome Howard Partridge.
All right. Woo! Thank you, Santi.
Awesome, Howard. All
right, buddy. Woo! Hey, everybody. How we doing? How many of you guys are ready for a Better Than Phenomenal conference? All right. Hey, listen. This is just a warm-up, right? Tonight's just a warm-up. We've already had a full day of internet marketing today. How many of you enjoyed that were there? It was awesome. Yep. And even though tonight is a warm-up, my guess and my wish is that when you get done tonight with this presentation, that you would be able to leave here and say it was worth the trip. And I'm going to tell you why. Because your people, your team members, are your most valuable asset. Your team members are your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, depending on who you hire. All right? How many of you have heard about millennials and you've heard some negative feedback about millennials? All right? What have you heard?
Lazy.
Lazy?
They want too much money.
They want too much money?
Parents gave him everything.
And Brian could go on for an hour about many subjects. Yes, yeah, someone else.
Entitled.
Okay, what else?
Time off.
They want a lot of time off. What else?
They want everything up front.
They want everything up front. So you've heard all those things, right? So how are we building phenomenal companies with young people, with millennials? You know, all this talk about millennials reminded me of a friend of mine. His name is Chuck Coonrod. He was a great speaker here at our conference way back in 2008, you know, 8 years ago. And he wrote a book called Game of Work. It was a phenomenal presentation. He got a standing ovation. We had a much smaller community at that time. But he told a story that I'll never forget. He said when he first got into consulting, he went to consult with this manufacturer, and this guy was walking him through the warehouse and everything, and they had one of these big catwalks, right? You know, when you have a manufacturing floor, and they did like manufactured buildings or something like this. And so they went up on this big catwalk, and they're looking down onto the assembly floor, and he said that the workers were moving like slugs in cement. That's how slow they were working. And he's sitting there looking at this, and this client of his said, "Now you tell me what I'm going to do about that. What are you going to help me do about that?" He didn't know what to say. And he was literally saved by the bell. He was saved by the lunch bell. The lunch bell rings, and these people who had been moving so slow, all of a sudden, every single one of them throw their shirts off and start running across the warehouse floor to the basketball court. And they played the most extreme game of basketball that you've ever seen. And then as soon as lunch was over, they're back to work. And they're moving like snails again. And that's when he had his epiphany about Game of Work. He said, you know, it's amazing that people come to work and, you know, the air conditioner breaks. And it's like, oh, man, it's hot in here. It might not be hot yet, but it's going to get hot. You know, it's like we're already predicting it's going to get hot. We're going to need to leave early, right? It's 75 degrees inside. It's burning hot, man. I can't stand it in here. It's 85 degrees outside, and as soon as they leave work, they look at each other and say, golf or tennis today? Why is it that people will get up and they'll go hunting or fishing or whatever it is that they do, and they'll get up at some, I started to say ungodly, but I get up at that hour, so I'm not going to say that. Why would they get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and do all this work to go hunting or fishing or to do whatever sport it is that they do? So he created this concept called game of work. So my question to you is, number one, the game that you're playing, how big is it? How big is the game, the vision, the mission that you have? Not only how big is it, but more importantly, how meaningful is the game? See, everybody wants to play a game, and people don't have something meaningful to belong to. I'm going to talk a lot about that tomorrow. But the thing is that what I've found is that millennials are just like everybody else. What I found is that this is not an age thing at all. How many of you know that there's 50-year-olds that are lazy, 50-year-olds that don't want to work? There's 50-year-olds that don't know how to smile. There's 50-year-olds that move like snails. There's no game to play. So your job as a leader is to give them a game to play. Santiago and I had the pleasure of meeting Simon Sinek with John Maxwell a couple weeks ago. And if you've never read Start With Why or Leaders Eat Last, this guy, he's got it dialed in. And the fact is that there is a difference in millennials. There is. I don't buy into everything that we just said because I've proven that it's not, we have proven that it's not true. But I will tell you this, and what Simon shared is that they grew up, they just grew up in a different environment than we did. That's all. They grew up in an environment where technology was always accessible, and literally, not just young people, but many people, including me, are addicted to technology. If you just go for your phone just because that's a habit, it's an addiction. And so we tell our employees, don't text. That's like telling, Simon said, that's like telling an alcoholic not to drink. Because every time you get a ding, a like, or whatever, a buzz, or whatever, it's a shot of dopamine. You guys familiar with how that works? That dopamine, you get addicted to it. You're not going to change that. So what are we going to do about it? He talked about how they were parented differently than we were, some of them. Now, your job is to find the ones that were parented the right way, and they are out there. So it's incredible insight to how millennials think and act and why they're like they are. And what I've found is that there are human beings at all ages that have incredible gifts. And our job as a leader is to create the right environment that creates the game, the vision, the mission, the purpose, the values that not just millennials can buy into. But as you can see in these pictures here, that with our team, we don't age discriminate. Can you see that well enough? That there are people. Santi, what's the youngest person we have on our team right now? 18? Okay. 18. And I'm talking about mainly our service company team right now. 18, because you got to be 18. In fact, I just tried to hire someone that's 17, a kid that I've been mentoring since he was 10. And he was all messed up back then, but he's doing awesome now. And I want to hire him, but we don't have a place for him right now. So he won't be 18 until February. But you got to be 18 to go out on a truck and all that stuff. But as you can see, there's also the oldest person that's there, Alpha is what, 92? Is she 92? Okay. And then we have our phenomenal products team. Youngest one is 18. And the oldest one, Rick Jones, is 93. So as you can see, this presentation tonight is not about age discrimination. It's all about finding the gifts in people, the talents in people that can help you win. And I'm telling you, here's what I'm going to tell you right now, and you're going to see it in just a minute, that millennials are smart, they're energetic, they know technology, they know things that you don't know, they have insights that you don't have, and I'm telling you, you can build a phenomenal company. Tomorrow, you're going to meet a man who's in this room right now who has built a company from zero to $11 million, and he's just getting cranked up, and every one of his directors are millennials that run that company for him. You'll meet him tomorrow. You'll hear from him tomorrow. Phenomenal. All right? So what I would like to do is I would like to introduce you to some of our millennials, and instead of hearing it from me, I would like for you to hear it from them. And they're going to answer three questions. Number one is, what attracted you to Howard's company? Number two, what caused you to come to work there? And number three, why do you continue to work there? Now, I know that some of you are afraid to even ask your employees that question. I was coaching a guy in New Hampshire the other day, and one of my favorite questions to ask people, I ask my team all the time, individually, how are you doing? I want to know how they're doing personally. I want to know how they're doing professionally, because I care about them. And I'm always, I'll talk about this some tomorrow, but you always have to be talking about the vision, because leadership is effectively communicating the vision. And the fact is that most leaders, most bosses, most business owners do a very poor job of communicating. Would you agree with that? Would you agree?
Yes.
Thank you, John. Do we need balloons tonight? Are we going to do balloons? Let's do balloons tonight. Come on. So go ahead and blow up your balloons. Then we'll bring these. No, don't pop your balloon. Blow it up. I mean, you know, we have troublemakers, and then there's troublemakers. I mean, there's troublemakers, and then there's John Michalitas. We want to make sure there's some energy in here. You got balloons, you might as well use them. Does everybody know what to do with these? All right, so those of you that this is your first time, what's that? Don't pop those yet. All right, don't blow it up too big. Santi's going to go over this again tomorrow. But what you want to do is, when you have an aha moment, when you get something that you can take away from the conference, take your pen and pop that balloon. Now, is there anybody in the room that gets afraid or has issues with loud noises? Anybody? No? Okay. If you do, let your table know, and you guys can put your balloons away. All right? How many of you are ready to meet my phenomenal millennials? Yes? All right. First, Mr. Santiago Arango Man. Come on up here, Santi. Give him a big hand clap. Listen. This guy can teach all of my stuff. He started with me when he was 17. He's 33 now, and he could do this whole thing. That's your goal in your business, that you are not needed. And I am no longer needed.
Gonna miss you.
Amen, brother. I'm gonna miss you too. Hey, come on down to the beach, brother. You know where to find me, okay? But listen, we're in a coaching session. I swear. We do a full day consultation. I swear. He says exactly what I would say. And I say exactly what he would say. And sometimes I'll write it down. And after he says it, I'll go like this. He knows the system. He follows the system. He follows the script. My right-hand man, Santiago. Next is Mr. Yes, sir.
I'll sit on this.
Oh, thank you, sir. Actually, did put that somewhere for me.
Got you.
Is Mr. Johan De Leon. Come on, Joe. This guy runs the operations of our multi-million dollar service company like no sweat. I mean, it's just like He makes it look easy. How many of you know that it's not easy to put up with customers, especially high-end clients who are a little bit particular about their multi-million dollar home and all their stuff and how they need to be treated and all that? And then you got a bunch of technicians that they got needs. And this guy's walking around here like it's no sweat, right? Everybody else freaking out, all right? I don't know how he does it, but maybe he'll tell you. Started with me when you were 19?
19.
Okay, and you're 32 now. Okay, you're catching up with Santi. All right. I mean, like, no sweat. This guy, both of them, they can teach. They know, again, they know tech. It's just amazing. All right, let's see. Who am I going to bring up next? We might as well do the service company, all the service companies. So, Aliki Thanos, come on, Aliki. Aliki, I have known
for a long time.
All her life. Our families have been friends for over 30 years. And so I knew her when she was born. When she was about 5 years old, I started recruiting her. You are going to come to work for us one of these days, aren't you? I mean, she's been smart, sharp, as long as I've known her. Amazing. So you started working with us part-time as a marketing rep at 21?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're almost 26? Okay. All right. And Aliki runs all of the marketing for our company. I'm going to show you something really, really cool in just a minute. So she's the marketing director for our service company and tripled our referral source referrals. How many of you are in Aliki's video program right now? Okay. Is that phenomenal or what, Todd? Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Let's see. Next, Victoria. I'm going to go ahead and bring all the marketing people up here. Victoria Marez. Come on, B. Now, we call Victoria the ninja, the marketing ninja. Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry. And literally, she manages all of our marketing at Phenomenal Products, the digital marketing, the offline marketing, manages all of it, all the stuff that I used to do, and she's doing it 10 times better than me. And you started when you were...
I was 25.
You were 25, so a little bit older than the rest of them when you actually started.
Yes.
Okay? All right. Do we still have, are we in the age range for millennials?
I'll be... What? Yeah. Yeah, actually.
Okay, when you started, yeah.
No. For the first time, no. I'm feeling old. I'm about to turn 30.
So I didn't want to say, but I know.
Source,
no, I knew, but I didn't want to say it, okay?
Kidding.
I didn't want to say
kidding.
It.
Yeah.
So for her 30th, now I'm going to give you a clue about what you're going to have to do here later on in the presentation, but where are you going to be on your 30th birthday?
Hawaii, baby.
Hawaii? And who are you going to be with?
Mr. HP.
What's up?
And Michelle.
And my wife.
And Ellen Rohr
and her husband. And Sherry and Dean Perry.
And
who else is going to Hawaii? Is anybody else here going to Hawaii? Okay.
Can we still sign up?
Ryan?
Unfortunately, it's all booked up. But anyway, there will be another opportunity. Anyway, there's a story behind that. There's always a story. Okay. All right. Next, I'm going to bring up the grasshopper. You want me to bring Dina first? Okay. All right. Got it. Okay. I'm going to bring up Dina next. Come on, Dina. Give Dina a big hand clap. Is it okay if I tell them about your survey that you did?
Sure.
Good, because I already did.
Oh, God.
Is that
why I did the survey?
No.
Huh? So he sent it to me, and I shared it with a few people over there. All right, so, you know, I've never asked you your age, and you don't have to tell us.
Oh, no.
But we
I'm
know the range.
I'm 23. Well, I just turned 24.
You just turned 24. Mm-hmm. You're 23 when you started with us 5 months ago.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, and what Dina does is she does full-time referral marketing with our company. And I'm going to share something really cool about these three here in just a second. All right, so it's Dina.
Woo!
All right. Now, here's The crazy thing is that I hired a Dina and a Dana on the very same day. So let's have Dana, the grasshopper, come on up here. Give her a big hand clap. So Dana is officially our youngest, and she was 17 when she came on board, and she's been with us 5 months, turned 18 in June. She's barely 18, and I'm telling you, this girl right here has helped me. It's a gift that I didn't know she had. She's helped me edit 2 books already. I mean, we're turning these books like fast, all right? She's got the vision, she's got the mission, she's got the value, she's got the purpose. I mean, she's got the branding thing down so good that now she's telling me what to do. I was like, man, this girl is going to be running this thing before too long.
We'll see.
We'll see, yeah, okay. All right. So, did I get the questions right? What attracted you to our company, and why did you decide to come to work with us? And why did you stay? All right, so who wants to go first?
Ladies first.
I bet Aliki would go first.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Woo! Wake up. All right, so what attracted you to the company, you said, is the first question?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the beach, and at the time I was in college and I needed a job, so Howard was telling me about Clean as a Whistle. And I was majoring in entrepreneurship at the time and minoring in marketing, so I felt like it was right up my alley, so I was like, why not, right? Mm-hmm. So I started part-time, and then I left the company.
Tell them about that.
Which was a mistake. But if I never made that mistake, I never would have realized the value and all of the love that I was missing out on. And so I came back to the company, was promoted to marketing manager, and the reason I'm staying with the company is because the cultural, what's that word?
The culture.
The culture, yes. Sorry, not cultural. The culture and the family organization that we are a part of is incredible. I never want to go back. I left to be in the corporate world, and I said that was a mistake because nobody cared about you. They just walked all over you all day long. And at this company, I do not feel like that at all. We're all friends. It feels very family-oriented. These people care about you. They care about your feelings. They want to know your goals, your dreams, and they're helping you achieve it. So that's what I missed out on. I'm so glad I came back.
Us too.
And it's really nice to feel the empowerment from these three. Initially from Howard, then from Santi since he trained me, and then Joe continues it because these two are fully and phenomenal. So they are always empowering us to, you know, do what we think is best and to really help the company, you know, move forward. And I think that's one of the best things. I really enjoy it. I like that they're like, oh yeah, sure, great idea, go for it. And then like we do our own trial and error, right? Mm-hmm. But most of the times it ends up pretty well for us. And I think it's because we are already being led with that positive attitude. You know, they're always there to encourage us every step of the way.
Awesome.
Is that the last question?
Yes, ma'am.
Any more?
Okay. Phenomenal.
Thank you.
All right. Who's next?
Gentlemen, ladies? I'll go next. All right. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Okay, so it was initially why I was attracted to the company. Is that right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, well, the story is kind of funny with how I came to work for Phenomenal. So I was studying business. Well, I was studying music. I was going to be a music teacher. A lot of people don't know that about me. Yeah, so I was studying music, and I really liked business and did things for myself, you know, taught lessons and things like that. So I started working in the radio station in Houston. And once I was finishing college, I thought, okay, well, I'll just continue in radio. So I saw an application go out for Denise's assistant. Does everyone know who Denise is? Of course.
That's my wife, Denise Partridge.
So, being in radio, I was like, this is it. I knew Denise, her reputation in the industry, and I wanted to work for her. So, I went in and talked to her, and it was clear the industry, or in radio, it's very cutthroat. So, they will fire you in an instant, lay you off. So, it's a scary situation, and she was honest with me, and I was so grateful for that. So she said, oh, you live in this area? We live down the street from you. She started talking about dogs. I mean, where am I? This is cool. We're just sitting and having a conversation. That's awesome. So comfortable. And so she's like, you need to talk to my husband. So I was kind of sad, thought I was getting let down. But what I didn't realize is, I went in for an interview and almost burned that bridge, actually, because I thought radio was for me. Mm. And so I went to the interview, talked to Howard. He's like, all right, like what I'm hearing. I need you to talk to my right-hand man, Santiago. So I went from Howard's office to Santi's office. And when I was there, Santi asked me a question I'll never forget. I'm 24 years old. He's like, what's your dream job? I'm like, oh, wow. That's deep. I mean, you're young and you're like, well, I want to work for you. That's my dream.
Good answer.
Yeah. So it was a little nerve-wracking, and, I love business. I love the idea of it. I love the drive that it, behind it and the emotion and just everything. It's amazing what you guys do. So that was my dream, and I told him, and he was like, okay, this is it. Okay, maybe not in that instant said you're hired, but got on the team, and so the rest is history. But kind of what Aliki said, it's an environment where you can make mistakes, and you're not really, it's not like you want to make mistakes, but you're not scolded for it. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity to learn, and that's so different from what's out there. Mm. So the leadership, obviously, the empowerment. It's so important to do that for younger people because it's just not out there. Mm. Nobody's there for you. This is such a rare group of people. So thank you guys, and thank you, Howard, Santi, everyone.
Thank you.
Love the family.
Hello. So the first question was, what was attracted me to Clean as a Whistle? It's actually a funny story. Me and Aliki went to school together. We went to community college. We had a class, and we were Facebook friends. And a few years later, didn't really think about her. No offense. she posted a status. Her company, Clean as a Whistle, was looking for a marketing specialist. And I was had just graduated from college back in December, and I majored in public relations. So then I was like, hey, this might be a good opportunity. I sent her a message. I was like, hey, I might be interested. Of course, she got right back to me with all the details and everything, and I applied. Went in for an interview with her son, Joe, and Scott, who's not here. And they asked me a bunch of questions. They did ask me what my dream job was. And I think I said I wanted to work in a corporate office, but that after working here and realizing that I enjoy what I do, going out and meeting new people, building a relationship with them, I realized that that is what I love doing, and that is why I love working at Clean as a Whistle. Also, like Victoria said, the empowerment. There's professional growth, personal growth. People here, they care about what you're doing on a daily basis. There's always praise for good work. So there's always that love that I feel from everyone in the office. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Aliki.
Thank you.
This is what I like about being young. I can kind of let them go first and just play the age card. So I kind of have a unique story. I knew some of you in this room before I worked for Howard because I actually worked for an Inner Circle member, Ms. Ruth Hoyt. She's a photographer. So I was here, and I came to the first conference February of 2015. And the first day, I remember walking out of the room, calling my mom and saying that I wanted to work for these people one day. Because what I saw was something that I had honestly never experienced. I was 16 at the time, and I had a bunch of dreams, but I had never been told that I could actually do those. When they talk about what their dream job was, in my mind, it was always speaking in front of people, and it was always helping people, but I had never been told how I could do that. And I finally saw something like that, where there was actually people making a difference, and it mattered, and these people cared about others and what they did. And I was immediately sold, but I was like, you know, there's Howard and Santiago up on stage, and it would take me probably another 10, 15, 20 years to be on that stage. And after quite some time, I say quite some time, probably about 6 months actually, I came to a few more conferences, and I talked to Santi a little bit. And I want to say kind of got recruited, but I was sold from the day I first saw them. I happened to be moving to Houston. It was really, in all honesty, a God thing. It worked out better than I could have ever imagined. And at first, it was supposed to be a summer job. And it's turned into so much more. I really have found my lifelong passion. It's crazy to say that at 18, I can really say that I want to do this for the next 50 years. And that's probably my biggest takeaway. I've seen friends that I talk to on a daily basis that they hate what they're doing. They're hate their boss. They're constantly getting in trouble for things. I'm encouraged to get on Facebook at work. That's such a weird thing, honestly. And these people really, truly do care about you. I've never seen anything like that, and I don't want to get emotional because I know that I will. I've never, ever met people like this.
What is it? Evening, right? How's everybody doing? I've been working the whole day, so. How's everybody doing today? My name is Johan, and like Howard kind of mentioned briefly, I came to Clean as a Whistle via a friend. He was actually a technician for the cleaning company that he owns. And at that time, I used to work in retail. I used to work for Walmart, and we were cutting down. That's back in the day when they used to have a lot of cashiers. Not like nowadays. So they started to cut down hours. I got plenty of this. So they started to cut down hours. And I was finding myself only working maybe 20 hours a week, which is really rough because I knew I had to provide. So my friend came in and he was doing like 60, 65 hours a week. He would always crash down in my apartment on my sofa and just always get there and just knock out. And I told him what he was doing. He said that he was working for a company called Clean as a Whistle. And I wanted those hours more than anything because I wanted to make money. So I asked him if he could put in a good word for me, which he did. Went in for an interview, and I became an assistant at the age of 19. So at that point, the reason I was attracted to Clean as Well at first is because I just really needed money, and I needed to work some hours. And the thought of working 60, 75 hours to me at that point sounded amazing. Nowadays, you know, we complain about working 30. So. But at that point, I was just very eager. I was very anxious. I had the energy. I had the drive. I just needed someone to guide me in the right direction. When I first started to get there, when Howard was more involved at Clean as a Whistle, he used to do the morning meetings on Wednesdays. You know, he used to start at 7:30, and it'll go for about 45 minutes. And I started to notice that in those meetings, it was really asking questions about each individual technician, about how we want to do or what we're currently doing to improve ourselves in our current standing lifestyle. At that age, it kind of sounds like it's going in one ear and going out the other, because even now when I do my presentations in front of the younger technicians, I just feel like sometimes it may not be, you know, completely sitting in, but not to me, because I felt for the very first time going away from a retailer that someone was really, truly, I guess, trying to look out for what's best in my life. And it wasn't just meant for me. It was meant for everybody who was in that room. So Howard, the reason I stayed at Clean as a Whistle, because I could have gone and done any other job, because time for me was, I had all of it. But the reason I stayed at Clean as a Whistle is because I saw that they had a different type of atmosphere, a community, which has already been spoken, and the overall heart that Howard had was clearly visible in everything he did. It didn't matter if it was early in the morning. It didn't matter if he was possibly having one of the worst days of his life. I never saw it. It was always a positive image in him that when I saw him come in, it just attracts to you. And you want to do the exact same thing now. Now that he's not there, I know my role at Clean as a Whistle is to continue what he was doing because I want other people to feel what I felt and what's kept me at Clean as a Whistle for going on 16 years now. So, and I know, and a lot of us have already talked about, you know, the leadership team is, we all feel that way because we truly know that he's a very loving man. And we're very blessed to have him in our life there. So, yes, I breath.
I'm the one that's blessed, my brother.
All right, so that's my story.
Awesome. Yes, sir.
All right. All right, so some of you guys know a little bit of my story, right? I was 16. I met my wife in high school. And then right out of high school, we wanted to get married. But the one thing my father-in-law said,
father-in-law, yes.
I always get those two mixed up, but that's not a good idea, right? So my father-in-law said, all right, you just got to get a job, right? But what am I going to do? The only job I'd ever had before that was modeling, and that's not like a real job, right? That's just like, you got lucky, man. You got paid for standing there, right? So other than that, right, he said, well, why don't you come on in? Talk to Howard and Dennis and Scotty. Back then, they were the partners, right? So I go in, and I met with them. I don't even remember what we talked about, but I just remember kind of walking in. There's three guys kind of hovering, right? Like, oh, man, I don't know what this is about. I have no idea what Clean as a Whistle is about. I didn't know anything other than, okay, we need a job. Kind of like what Joe was talking about, right? Like, I just got to do something that's kind of legit, right? And then, I mean, modeling, right? Really? So then, okay, so started working there, started doing all these things. I was on the field. I was doing all this work, and I was a tech on the field for a while. And I remember I enjoyed the money. I did. I really enjoyed the money. And that, but it was about me. And I was on the field. I hurt myself, and I couldn't do it anymore. I started working in the office after 9 months of therapy. And once I was back in the office, then things were different, and I started to see things from a different perspective. Now, maybe a little bit different than everybody else in here is that and some of you guys know this, some of you guys don't know, I quit. I left because of what was happening in the office. Mm-hmm. During this time, there was some transition going on, and this was a major learning moment for Howard, for all of us, really.
Yeah.
But the coolest thing of all was to later on go back to Howard and say why I decided to quit. And guess what? He decided to change things because of that. That made my respect of Howard, who I really didn't know, like just boom. Like, okay, he cares about people. So then came back, started working in the office, and then like everything changed from that point on. Now, at that point, I was getting more connected with what was going on at Phenomenal Products and seeing, you know, growth and personal growth and seeing Howard change. And I was so like, oh, man, this is so cool. If Howard did it, then all of us can do it, right? All of us, every single one of the guys that are there. But I saw that many of the guys have been kind of mistreated by who used to be there.
That's right.
So that ignited something inside of me that's all Howard's fault, right? That said, you know what? We got to get in there and help them realize who they really are. So we just started doing a whole lot of cool things with changed our morning meetings, changed everything how we were doing it back then. And it's so amazing to see now the transition. And I get to sit now in the morning meetings, and I see Joe and Aliki now run those. Mm-hmm. And then they start connecting with the guys, with everybody in the team, and just to see them moving forward. But the main reason why I stayed really was because of Howard's heart. That was it. It wasn't more money or benefits or, you know, the potential of all these amazing future things that could happen as a result of it. In fact, so many people would come to a conference and be like, hey, man, you want to come work for me? I'll pay you double of what Howard's paying you, right? And I would say no. Because that showed so much about that person's heart. So at the end of the day, the question really is about you guys. How much of your heart do you actually open to your team? Howard opens it up, like, big time. Sometimes someone might say a little too much, how you might get hurt, right? But he doesn't care because he has so much love to show people that they get to see that and connect with that. So I hope most of you guys get to see that. You guys get to feel that from all of us sitting here, how we've all experienced a part of that love. And I know Howard will continue teaching us and making this happen, but you guys have an amazing opportunity. How many of you have one of us waiting to grow?
That's right.
Waiting to be developed, waiting to become the person that God made them to be.
That's right.
And it's up to you. So I thank you, Howard, for seeing that in me.
Thank you.
Woo!
Thank
you.
So, I don't know, should we do like a group hug now or something?
Hey,
Andre, do you have a camera back there? Or we got you got pictures, right? Okay. All right. Well, I'll hug you one at a time. Love you, brother. Okay, Mr. Johan.
Yeah.
Aliki. Santi.
Howie.
V. The ninja. Dina.
Woo.
And the grasshopper, Dina.
Love you,
honey. Okay. I don't know if I can teach after that. I think we could just be done right there. Is that plenty of evidence, or do you want to just know how that happens? All right. I, as you know, study a lot, and I try to connect with the best people, the best speakers in the world. And Patrick Lencioni, if you want to understand how this happens up here, Patrick Lencioni is a guy that you want to follow. Now, I would absolutely love to get Patrick Lencioni here at the conference. I have met him. I've been introduced personally to him. I've sat in Dave Ramsey's green room with him. But a keynote is $75,000. All right. And so we're just not there yet. All right. One of these days we will be. But next best thing is to read from Patrick Lencioni. There are three books, actually, that you want to read from him. And we'll send those out to you or whatever. But one of them, his newest book, is called The Ideal Team Player. The Ideal Team Player is humble, hungry, and smart. Humble, hungry, and smart. We're going to give you an assessment tonight. We're going to give you a self-assessment that you can do for yourself and that your team members can do with each other. You can download it online. You'll be able to see where to get it. But you'll be able to rate yourself, and each of your team members will be able to rate themselves on how other people see them on a scale of how humble, how hungry, and how smart you are. Now, I did it, and I found that, and humble doesn't mean what you think it means. What it means is that you're always willing to build other people up, that you're not, you know, bragging all the time and all those kinds of things. And smart doesn't necessarily mean intelligent, but it means emotional intelligence. And hungry means that you want to grow. And what I've found is that the best team members are the people who want to grow personally. What did you hear each and every one of them say? They want to grow personally. And your job as a leader is to create that growth environment. Many of them use the word empowerment to empower them to use their natural talents. Liz Wiseman wrote a book called Multipliers, and she said that multipliers are talent magnets and they know how to recognize the native genius in people. Every single human being on the planet has a gift. So we're going to give you that assessment, and that's what you're looking for. Every person up here that you saw is humble, hungry, and every single one of them are smart. Every single one of them. So that's who you're looking for, and you'll get that assessment, and you'll be able to even assess people as they apply to your company. And I have about a 90-minute presentation to do in 28 minutes, so let's go. Number one, do you really need full-time? As you're thinking about everything that needs to be done in your business, I want you to think part-time, because you can get five or six people to do several different things. Like Aliki started as a part-time marketing rep. We have a lady by the name of Debbie who started as a works as a part-time marketing rep. She's been with us almost 6 years now. If you want to get somebody to do bookkeeping or this thing or that thing, so think about college student, soccer mom, someone who's retired. I have a lady who she's not with me anymore, but for I don't know 6 or 7 years did outbound phone calls for us, and she was a lady. She was a shut-in. She couldn't leave the house. And you got a phone, you got an internet connection. You can work for us. And she was very grateful because she had a situation where she could not work, and we came along. We were able to bless her, and she was able to bless us. You might be able to outsource and get a freelancer or something like that. I want to take you through four or five questions. First of all, how do you find these people? Okay. And I'm going to share that with you. Number one, the most important thing that you can do as a business owner is build your network. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that you go out and you cultivate relationships with people every day. You add value to people every day. Because when you have a network of people that you've added value to them, then you can go to your network and say, here's who I'm looking for. That is so important, and I think we miss that. I don't think we do the best job that we can connecting with people everywhere you go. I don't care who it is. Connect with them. Add value to them. Build a relationship with them everywhere that you go. Number two is have a referral reward program. So we pay a $300 referral reward for every new a team member that if you refer somebody, we pay a $300 referral reward. And start with your existing team. If you already have existing team members, let them know. I mean, you might even want to walk into a team meeting like I used to do with $300 bills and be like, hey, who wants this? You'll get their attention, I promise. All of business and all of life is about relationships. So cultivate those relationships every day. Now, question. What kind of person are you looking for? You're looking for someone who's successful, right? Not someone who's dysfunctional. You're looking for somebody with a good work ethic. You're looking for someone with a positive attitude, great appearance, intelligent, honest and trustworthy, loyal, organized, somebody who takes initiative, and a leader, right? Is that what you're looking for? If I ask you, and I didn't ask you because I'm on a limited time basis here tonight because people probably want to go have dinner tonight. But if I ask you, this list was created from what business owners have told us. Is that true? If I ask you, that's what you would say, right? You would say those things probably. Let me ask you a question. What kind of person are they looking for? Same list, right? Bam. Let me ask you another question. What is your reputation as a business owner? Did you hear what they said? I want to look at this last one here, a leader. See, John Maxwell said that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less, and the way that you gain influence in someone else's life is by adding value to them. Being a positive influence in their life by adding value to them. Zig Ziglar said you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. The question is that a lifestyle? How many of you know that every single person on the planet has influence in someone else's life? Is that true? So really and truly, every single human being is a leader. And when you become a leader and you develop leaders and you have systems in place, here's what happened up here. I want to show you what happened. I trained Santiago as our marketing director. He trains Aliki, and Aliki now has trained Dina. And everybody keeps rising as we grow the team. Everybody keeps rising to the top. Did you see what they said? Just Howard, then Howard left, and Santi left, and then another one's going to leave, right? We just keep, I mean, they keep just leaving, right? Now, we're not growing our companies like, you know, 100% a year or anything like that. I personally am not interested in that because there's a lot of other issues that you have to deal with when you do that. What I'm interested in is, first of all, of course, as a business owner, the one and only reason your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. Do you have a vision for your life? We'll talk about that more tomorrow. But you have to develop leaders, and in order to do that, you have to become a leader. We have to develop ourselves as a leader. Kevin Turner, who is the former chief operating officer for Microsoft, said this, that people want to work for people who have dreams and aspirations. People want to work for people who have dreams and aspirations. They want to work with a successful person. If you're walking around talking about how hard your job is, what's wrong with your industry, what's wrong with the world, they do not want to be associated with you. They're not going to be attracted to you. What did Johan say? Listen, I used to get, before I got healthy, I used to have migraine headaches from the tip of my head to the top of my head to the tip of my toes. But nobody ever knew it because I'm there to have a positive influence and a positive impact on my team. I love this statement. How many of you have heard that teamwork makes the dream work? But I'm going to flip that and say dream work makes the teamwork. Because if you don't have a vision, if you don't have a dream, I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. If you don't have a vision, leadership is effectively communicating the vision. So you have a vision for your life. You have a vision for your business. How do they fit into that vision? And guess what? They have to have a dream. Everything that I teach has been validated by some of the top people in the world. What was the question that we asked the folks in the interview? What is your dream job? We're going to ask them, tell us about your dreams and goals. What do you want to accomplish in life? Who do you want to become? What do you want to do? What do you want to have? Kevin Turner, again from Microsoft, that's the first question he asks when someone's coming onto his team. Tell me about your goals. Tell me about your dreams. Because if it's all about helping people get what it is that they want, we got to know what they want. Gary Keller says that success is getting what you want. So the key thing is we got to have a vision. We got to know what it is that we want. And if I'm going to help somebody else get what it is that they want, I need to know, so I got to ask those questions. So where do you find them? You find them in your network. But the question is, have you added value to the people in your network? It's a lifestyle. It just becomes who you are. Second question, how do you attract them to your company? So this is Dana. Last year, about a year ago at Ziegler, we had an October conference at Ziegler, and we did a tour of Ziegler, which was really awesome. And every time that we have anybody in our community that's under 21, we make a big deal about it. We give them a book, and part of my personal passion is to help our young people. Did you hear what Victoria said? You don't see it out there. You don't see companies that care about people. And part of my passion is to help the youth of America understand what's possible for their life. And so we always recognize, and we'll do it tomorrow, recognize anybody who comes in under 21. We give them a book and all of that kind of stuff. Add value to them. Help them. Help them reach their goals. Always be positive. Learn about them. Tell me about your goals. Tell me about your dreams. Because I might meet someone tomorrow that can help that person. And what's that going to do for me? You can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. It doesn't matter if you don't even know them. Let me ask you a question. If I get on an airplane and I encourage a flight attendant that I don't know, never met before, may never see again, is that going to come back to me in some way?
Yes.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. It's a spiritual law. When you plant that seed, it may come back to you in a different way. So the question is, how phenomenal do you want your life to be? How blessed do you think I am to have this group of people on the stage saying what they say about us? And it's about planting seeds and adding value to people and just simply helping them. Recruiting, by the way, is a marketing process. It is true that Santiago started recruiting Dana when he found out that she was going to be moving here. And I appreciate the fact that she was already sold from the beginning. That's awesome. I recruited Aliki heavily. Is that true,
yeah.
Aliki? So she's Greek, if you haven't figured that out yet.
No.
And the other Greek speaks up, okay. And so we go to Greece sometimes with her family, and I was over there with her and her mom, and Christian and Denise went with us the last time we went. And so she came part-time, as she said, and then she went back to the corporate world. I knew that she was going to hate it. I knew it because the environment isn't what it needs to be. And so I'd check in about once a month. Was it more than once a month?
Facebook.
Hourly.
No, in the beginning, it was about once a month, right? Later on, it became more frequent. Here's why. Because it started out about once a month. How's it going? Oh, it's great. I love it. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. About, I don't know, 3 months or so.
Let me tell them what you said.
Come on up here and tell them what I said. Come on. All right, get a microphone back there. Get a microphone back there.
He was like, how you doing? How's it going? We miss you, blah, blah, blah. A little bit, you know, down the road. Are you tired yet? Are you ready to come back?
And I asked you how it was going over there, and you said not very good, right?
Yeah, you called me
that
day.
You finally started confessing.
Because you messaged me when you're like, are you tired yet? And I was like, actually, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he called me that day, and I remember I was like pacing back and forth in my room. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Yes, I got to go back. These people don't care about me. It was very hurtful because the person who recruited me was my mentor in college. So she was the one that I thought I could trust and look up to, and I was like, man, I want to be like her one day. But guess what? Mm-hmm. She was a you-know-what.
Woo!
So, and I'm glad I realized that. It took me a while to realize that, but.
How long?
You're there, what, about 6 months, maybe?
It was 6 months.
Yeah.
6 months. I realized it before then, because everyone in my family didn't want me to go. They never wanted me to leave.
I know.
But especially, you, at your at this age.
Especially your mom.
My mom, oh, yeah. She was like,
she wanted her to stay with us.
You better not go do that. But when you're at that age, you think you can conquer the world. So that's what I thought. And I was like, I'm going to prove all y'all wrong. And then I was like, I will never do that again. But anyways, yeah, so I came back.
Glad you're back.
I appreciate it.
Okay, so in the Inner Circle, we teach 6 marketing methods. So if you go through our marketing training on the Inner Circle site, we teach you those. You can use those in recruiting and marketing for team members. All right? Just use those same processes. You're going to get referrals from people. Market to your existing clients. Let them know that you're looking. How did Dina come on board? Aliki posted on Facebook. We were just talking about that next door today. I don't really like advertising for employees because I want to know somebody who knows them. I want to know that they have some kind of relationship. Because you got to think about this. If someone's placing if someone's responding to an ad, that means that the people that know them aren't willing to hire them or not trying to recruit them. And let me go ahead and tell you this in case I forget to tell you this. If you hire the wrong person, it doesn't matter what kind of leadership strategy or management system you use. It ain't going to work. You're not going to have a good culture. Thank you. It doesn't matter. So are they humble? Are they hungry? Are they smart? Do they fit that list right there? And one of the reasons I love hiring young people is because they can develop. You know, how many of you know that us older people, have bad habits, right? So, you know, you can help them grow personally. And it's the most rewarding thing in the world to do that, to me. Okay, so we're going to give you, by the way, make sure that before you leave that you get that Patrick, the ideal team player assessment. Dana will make sure that y'all get that as you leave. And not right now. We're going to do it when they leave because we're just a little bit short on time. Okay, third question is how do you hire them? In the inner circle, we have interview scripts. Use those interview scripts. And when you interview somebody, you need to let them do the talking. Ask a lot of questions. Tell me about your goals. Tell me about your dreams. What's your dream job? Tell me about your gifts. Tell me about your talents. Tell me about, what you like to do. And a lot of times people aren't very self-aware and they don't know, but the more they talk, the more they reveal. And so you want to ask a lot of questions, all right? Number two, do multiple interviews. Years ago, the way I hired somebody was with the mirror test. Anybody familiar with the mirror test? Like if you can fog up a mirror, you're hired. I didn't know whether they had a driver's license. I didn't know if they had a history, you know what I mean? Then we got a little bit better. Do you have a driver's license? Yes. Okay, let's run that criminal background check. But really no interview. One interview, and that's it. Multiple interviews. Victoria, how many interviews did you have?
Technically, I went through four, if you count Denise.
Yep.
Then I
four interviews, maybe five. I think you even had one with the whole team, and it might have been the same day. Four to five interviews. Why? Because you're not going to find everything out that you need. If you're looking for the ideal team player, you're looking for someone who's going to grow with you and be a part of your team for a long time. This is a person that you want to get along with. I'm just saying. Okay? Multiple interviews. Now, Dana, I don't know how many interviews you had, maybe two, but...
I might disagree with you there.
Okay, how many interviews did... Because while you were here, while we were recruiting you, we asked you a lot of questions, right?
I had several lunches with Michelle and Michelle, with Victoria and Santi, because I'd already kind of seen y'all at the conferences, you already knew me. Basically, by the time I went and actually had an interview with you...
Yep. You have four or five interviews?
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens is I do the interview last. So they go through the team that they're going to be working with first, okay, and then they interview with me, all right? But that's going to be four to five interviews. Where's Dina? Did Dina leave the room? She stepped out. Dina had several interviews. I interviewed her two or three times. Now, I'm spent a lot of time in Florida now, so I interviewed her by video, with Zoom. And I think I interviewed her two or three times. And the thing is that you don't want to, first of all, you don't want to make it easy to come to work for you, number one. Number two, you want to make sure that it's the right fit. Not just for you, but for them. Are we the right fit for you? Or are you the right fit for us? Are we going to the same place? Another thing I want you to think about is interview outside the office. Did you hear what Dana said as they went out to lunch? I heard one of the greatest things I ever heard on interviews. There was a speaking contest at one of the conventions that I speak at. And this guy said when he interviews somebody, he invites them to lunch. He gets there early and he tells the waiter or waitress to royally mess up their order. And he watches how they handle it. How do you think that these people would handle that? Beautifully. Guarantee you. Beautifully. Every time. Patrick Lencioni says, take them on errands. We're not at orientation yet, but when I got my business turnkey and I'm not in the leadership thing anymore, I'm not inside the office anymore, I still wanted to know the people that we were hiring, so I still did the final interview, and I still did the orientation. And that was like one of the last things that I gave up is the orientation. And here was the orientation. I had stuff to do. So I put them in my car with me, and we drove around all day. So whatever I did, they did with me. If I went on appointments, they went on appointments and they sat there and read something while I was inside. We went to lunch and we drove around because I wanted them to know my heart. That's what I wanted them to know. They got to get the DNA. We got to hear Dan Cathy a couple weeks ago with John Maxwell, Santiago and I. And he said that his main job is to make sure that he gets the DNA of Chick-fil-A in the hearts of those operators that own that business. And then their job is to get that DNA into the people that work there. The most important thing in your company is the culture. What did you hear up here? The culture, the environment. Your job as a leader is to create the right environment, a positive environment where people can grow, where they're appreciated, where they're cared for. That's what you heard right there. Is that what you heard? Yes or yes? How are we doing? Okay. All right. How do you keep them interested in your vision? Very simple. One thing. I'm going to talk about vision a lot tomorrow. But there's one thing that everybody wants. If you will give them this one thing, and they're the kind of person that you want on your team, they will stay with you, they will grow with you, and they will lead for you. One thing. Can anybody guess what it is?
Freedom.
Encouragement.
Love.
What is it?
Life.
Living in freedom every day. Air. Appreciation, inspiration, recognition.
Respect.
What else?
Opportunity.
An example. Here's what I call it. I call it community. Every human being on the planet wants to be loved. They want to feel accepted. They want to feel important. They want to feel like their life matters. And it does. And it does. If you're the one, all I've done is just do three things, and these three things are what build community. Number one is support. Support people. And what support is it's helping them to have the life that they want to have the things that they want to have. I help people all the time to try and help them reach their goals. When I started mentoring this kid by the name of Malachi when he was 10 years old, I just wanted to give back, and it was a long, hard struggle, fight. Kid got in all kinds of trouble. I didn't know if it was ever going to happen. But you got to just keep pouring into people.
Give them resources. Give them ideas. Connect them with other people. Support is helping people. And then second is encouragement. And what encouragement is helping people do the things that they're afraid of. One of the things that Simon Sinek made very clear about millennials is that they've learned how to, with social media, they've learned how to put filters on their life. But inside, maybe they're afraid to pursue the things in life, that those dreams that they really want to pursue. Nobody's ever told them that they could. Nobody's ever encouraged them to do it. Encouragement is the emotional fuel that help people do the things that they want to do. And then the final one is accountability. And what accountability is accountability is sort of that mentorship, that coaching, that mirror that helps people see who they can become. People have no idea who they can become. You have no idea what your potential is. You have no idea what you're capable of. I have no idea what I'm capable of. What does my team do for me? They help me enlarge my vision. They tell me, Howard, you're bigger than that, better than that. You can do way more than what you're doing. You can be more than. They hold me to a standard, and that's what accountability is. When you have community, when you have people around you that support you, that encourage you, and hold you accountable, you'll become the person that you're created to be. And that's my whole definition of success. Success is becoming the person that you are created to be, so that you'll do the things that you were created to do, so that you'll have the life that God intended you to have. Zig called it be, do, have. You'll never do consistently inconsistent with how you see yourself. So who are you becoming? Who are you helping your people become? I know it's deep, but it's simple. You start with support. You start with encouragement. And just be a coach. A leader is a coach. A leader is someone who just comes alongside and says, hey, who do you want to be? What are your dreams? What are your goals? What do you want to really do? And you build that trust where people will share that with you. Dana, when I started talking to you in Destin at the Destin Dream Retreat, okay, what was the first thing that I started asking you about? What are your biggest goals and dreams, right? If you have a vision for your life and your company, and they have a vision for their life and their role in the company, now we have something to work with. But vision plus vision equals division. If I don't know what their vision for their life is, if I don't know what their goals are and how it fits in what we do, and I don't know what their gifts are, we can't get there from here. Does that make sense? I'll talk more about discovering gifts tomorrow. All right, here's another thing that you want to do. What did you hear up here? You heard Greece. You heard Hawaii. What's that?
Destin.
We could talk about Las Vegas. We could talk about Amsterdam. We could talk about leadership conferences. Belize. Victoria went to Belize with us. I'm always, always, always looking for cool stuff to do with my team. In fact, Dan Cathy said that a couple weeks ago. He said, think cool. Do cool stuff with your people. Do stuff with them and for them that they would maybe never do for themselves. Because you can. And when you have a profitable company, you can really get, thank you, you can really give back to people. And so I'm always looking for those experiences. We had a client, an Inner Circle member, Neil Atkinson, at the last minute, they couldn't go to Belize. So my first reaction is, okay, who do I know that I could bless with this trip to Belize? Walk into Victoria's office, close the door. She goes, because I never walk in and close the door, right? She's like, I am in trouble. I just got fired. I mean, what happened? Do you want to go to Belize with us? She's like, isn't that like the day after tomorrow? Didn't have a passport. That didn't have a passport. I got her a ticket and everything. This girl figured out how to get a passport in 24 hours. That's called ninja mania. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Michelle was with me for, 7 years, I think. Some of you guys are probably here. I gave her a trip to Hawaii, sent her and her husband to Hawaii. Trip of a lifetime. The reason that we have the Amsterdam thing, you can't really see it in here today, but you'll see it on some of your stuff, is because I was talking to Dana about her dreams, her goals, and things like this. And she said, one of the things I want to do is travel. So I gave her a National Geographic magazine that had like the 50 places to see before you die or something like that, or 50 of the world's greatest destinations or whatever. I'm talking to her one day and I said, so how'd you like the magazine? She said, oh, I circled a bunch of stuff. I said, really, which ones did you circle? She said, well, the first one I circled was Holland. And I thought, Denise and I are going to Amsterdam with Tom Ziegler in about a month. So I said, how about next month? Say, what? Are you nuts? Yes, I am. And that's the point. Just crazy. But at this point in my life, I want to invest in them. I want to spoil them rotten, every single one of them. I'm going to John Maxwell. I'm going to meet John Maxwell, Simon Sinek, and all this. I'm like, why am I going to Atlanta by myself when I have a free companion ticket for Santiago and it'll cost me peanuts to buy a ticket for him? And Bruce and Joanna Deloach are going to pick us up, and basically, he's got this car that's like a limousine, you know, and basically take us where we need to go, and we're going to go out to dinner. Why am I going by myself? Am I nuts? Call Santiago. Hey, you want to go meet John Maxwell? What? I mean, this guy was like a kitten with a giant bowl of milk, man. I mean, he was lapping that leadership stuff. I mean, I'm burnt out by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Santi's still in the front row. John Maxwell right there. I mean, it was awesome. We went to, 4 of us went to Las Vegas to a convention. I would like to see you bring more of your team members here. How many of you brought your team members with you? Okay, give these folks a big hand clap, because I'm going to tell you what. Here's what happened. You go back, and you try to explain what you experienced. You bring them with you. They get vision, but I'm gonna warn you a little bit. They might get a bigger vision than what you got. And then they're going to challenge you that, hey, we could do this. I'm kind of afraid to do that. Well, let me encourage you a little bit, buddy, and let me hold you accountable. That's where you want your team to be, mister, right? Hey, right? That's where you want your team to be. You want them to challenge you. See, you're not in charge. Simon Sinek says you're not in charge of people. You're not in charge of the business. Your role is to lead them, to guide them, to support them, to encourage them, and help them to be accountable to become the person that they are created to be, and that is the entire definition of success right there. How do you pay them? What if they want a 2-week vacay and they only been there a year or less than a year? What if they want a big salary? What if they want, Aliki said, I'd really like to go to Greece for 2 weeks because it's kind of a tradition. And I was like, Carol's been the marketing director for, what, less than a year or whatever? Most people say, mm-mm, that ain't happening. Listen, if you get your work done, I don't care. I don't care. Elise gave me a great book. It's called Work Rules by Google's HR director. You know that a lot of their programmers don't even have any hours? It's nuts. The book should be entitled Nuts, okay? Because it's nuts. But guess what? These people produce, and when they leave for the day, they do actually show up, and they do come in, and they do work. And but then when they get home, they have these boards that they can tell when everybody's online. And as soon as, like an hour after everybody leaves, they see the boards all lighting up. I know, and that's the other thing with millennials and digital technology, I know that my people, they're working at home. They're checking emails. They're not required to do that. But I'm telling you that the whole structured thing of, you know, this is how, it's over. The game has changed. The game has changed with technology. The game has changed in how we lead people. It has changed. We were in the next room, or actually in this room right here, and the whole concept was how to thrive in the digital marketing revolution. There's a social revolution going on right now. The factory worker is old news. It's a new game, and there's a new style of leadership. I don't care how much vacation you have. I don't care how many hours you work. Here's what I care about: that we reach the goal, that we carry out the mission, we live by our values, and we live by our purpose, and that everybody's happy, and everybody is present when we need each person to be present. If Santiago wants to go to Spain for 2 weeks to visit with his mom or whatever. In fact, we went to Las Vegas. Four of us went to Las Vegas. Me and Santi and Aliki and Dana. And we had a big trade show and speaking and all that kind of stuff up there. We get there, and I'm not the best planner in the world. And it seems like every single event that we have, it's some special occasion with Santiago, either a birthday with one of his kids, anniversary or whatever. We need to do a better job planning. So we get there, we get everything set up and all that, and everything is going well. Santiago comes down to the trade show booth, and when you know your people and when they know you, you can just look at each other and tell something's wrong. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know somebody that well. You can just look at them. Santi, what's wrong? I knew it was their 15th anniversary. He knew it. I gave him the opportunity to opt out before we even went. But it was important that he was there because there was some key role to play. I said, go home. What do you mean, like? I said, go get a taxi and go home. Call your wife and tell her you're on the way. He said, yeah, but it's $600. Which told me something, that he had already checked on that. Translation, he wants to go home. Okay. So I said, go now. Don't worry about the 600. Is the guy worth a measly $600? Yes. But what's more important is that when he called his wife and told her, how do you think that made her feel? So I have a goal. I set this goal, I don't know, a couple of months ago or whatever, and my goal is to make somebody cry every day.
Mission accomplished.
The good kind of cry, okay? In other words, I'm a blessed man, and I just want to bless other people. And I want to bless people so much that they cry. I want to encourage them so much that they cry. I want to support them so much that they cry. I want them to discover things about themselves that they could do that they cry about. I want to create experiences that make them cry. So Santi sends me a text. He said, you hit your goal twice. No, he said, you hit your goal tonight. And I said, who cried? He said, actually, you hit it twice. Both of us did. It's like, all right. So look at this. Look. Let's talk about compensation. Let's put everything into perspective, all right? Aliki tripled our referrals. What's that worth? Tripled our referral source referrals in less than a year. What's that worth? Santiago can almost replace me. Johan runs the operations of a multi-million dollar high-end service company, no sweat. Victoria replaced me in my marketing. Dana's already helped me produce 2 books, and she's barely getting warmed up. I mean, she's becoming like the brand manager already. I mean, she's done so much for us in the short amount of time that she's... Every single one of them are so valuable. All I care about is that we reach the vision. So if it all works in the budget, I don't care. And guess what? I have my own personal money, too. So if I want to invest in a person, I'm going to invest in them. And the most fun thing that I do is give away money. I love to give away money. I love to help people because, you know, I've been blessed financially. So instead of just rewarding people, and I'm going to save the how to compensate people for Ellen because she's going to do that tomorrow night. She's going to do that on Friday morning. And I'll chime in on that a little bit, but so we don't have to get into that whole conversation. But I do want to make this point. Reward people for a job well done and compensate them well for what they do. But here's another point. Invest in them. Do you think that these people in this room that you saw here on this stage are worth investing in? No doubt. I want to invest in them. I want to develop them. I want to see them grow as leaders. Look at what they're already doing for me. Can you imagine what they're going to be like 10 years from now? I told Santi that one time. We had just finished a big trade show. Everything just went amazing. We spoke over there. We're sitting down. I bought him a steak dinner, man, because he just did so awesome. And I looked across the table at him. I said, dude, as good as you are, can you imagine how good you're going to be 10 years from now? He's 33. Johan's 32. Victoria's not even 30 yet. Aliki's 26. Dina's 24, just turned 24. 24, 34, 44. Can you imagine? Dana's 18. Y'all heard it here. She's going to be with us 50 years, right? Did you hear that? Okay. All right. I got a signed contract on that deal. As good as they are right now, can you imagine? Can you just imagine how good they're going to be in 10 years? In a year? In 2 years? In 3 years? I'm investing in them. But I'm not going to invest in somebody who comes along. I'm not even going to hire somebody who comes along who's not hungry, who's not humble, who's not smart, who doesn't have the characteristics, the virtues, the traits that I'm looking for, because it'll never, ever work. And believe me, I've done it. Last thing I want to share with you, second to the last thing that I want to share with you, is this concept. In our little small breakfast meeting, Simon Sinek said something that got my attention. He said, a great boss is like a loving parent. A great boss is like a loving parent. These are my kids. These are my kids. These are my sons and daughters right here. And I treat them like that. These are my kids. But there's something about your kids that I realized when I was in Holland. We were at the Anne Frank house, and we're going through, and we're seeing everything. And there was a video, and when this video played, I literally stood there for several minutes trying to take in what I had just heard. Video's a little bit over 2 minutes. I know we're a little bit over time, but I want you to watch this video.
I knew that Anna wrote a diary. She spoke about her diary. She left her diary with me at night in a briefcase next to my bed. I had promised her never to look in. I never did. When I returned, and after I had the news that my children would not come back, Meep gave me the diary, which had been saved by, I should say, a miracle. It took me a very long time to read it. And I must say, I was very much surprised about deep thoughts Anna had, seriousness, especially her self-criticism. It was quite a different Anna I had known as my daughter. She never really showed this kind of inner feeling. She talked about many things, we criticized many things, but what really their feelings were, I only could see from the diary. And my conclusion is, as I had been in very, very good terms with Anna, that most parents don't know really their children.
Most parents don't really know their children. Most leaders don't really know their team members. Great boss, a great leader, is like a loving parent. You don't haul off and fire them. You don't treat them badly. You want them to succeed. So I'll close with this statement. You heard this word on this stage a few times, several times actually. Lead with love. Learn about them. Encourage them. Add value to them. Help them to understand what the next step is. Determine the next step for them just like you would your children. Just like you would your child is what's the best for them, what's their gift, where they need to go. Love them like your kids. Do you love your kids even when they mess up? Did they say up here, hey, I make mistakes sometimes? You empower your kids, you love your kids, and that's the way you want to approach leadership, because not only does love never fail, but love always succeeds. Thank you all very much. We'll see you tomorrow morning.